Rise and shine, folks. Good Wednesday morning to 28th day of October 2020. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haitlin and Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, company from the Radio Bunker, broadcasting live all across the great state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio, from Traverse City down to Toledo. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. On Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well on channel 900. If you miss any portion of the show, you can always find it on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, and Google Play. Ryan, Danny, good morning to both of you. We crowned a World Series champion last night. We did not get seven games like we had hoped yesterday with John Wagner. This thing was over after six, after the LA Dodgers were able to strike back, going down 1-0 in the first. They did what they needed to do in order to take care of business and walk away with a winner. And now LA can have two parades. If we can ever have parades again, they'll get two of them for the Lakers.
All right, LeBron, Dodgers. Chill out.
Oh, you saw that. Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah. We just saw it on SportsCenter. We
Man,
were
I want my parade.
The world did not crown a World Series champion. I believe Kevin Cash did. But.
Ooh. Is that how you're feeling this morning? Shots fired.
I'm not saying. I mean, you know, you. You got your Cy Young award-winning pitcher out there who's allowed two hits, and you're going to pull him for a guy that has not been good. It just doesn't make sense.
Very interesting when John Wagner talked about this, that they're on a the strategy for Tampa Bay where, you know, and they've been using it all season, where you will only see batters two times. That's it. And then they pull you. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's cute and all during the regular season, but it's game six, back against the wall, World Series. Like, if you're okay with this, Blake Snell, who had nine strikeouts through, I don't know, four innings or whatever, if you're okay with this, if your shoulder's okay with this, because he hasn't pitched through the sixth inning since July 21st of 2019, we're going to throw you till your arm falls off. If this thing goes 15 innings.
But he's also only at 73 pitches. It's not like he was at 100.
I don't care if he was at 173 pitches.
Right.
If you can play and the score is the way it is, we're throwing you till your arm falls off. And that was probably the decision that cost him right there. And Blake Snell was not happy about being taken out either.
He shouldn't be. I mean, this is what happens. This is why I'm not worried about a robot or computer, you know, revolution, is because when you just follow the computers, the human element comes along and we can outsmart them because we have that human feel. So we don't have to worry about that. So you just follow the computers. They'll just keep following the script and it'll screw up somehow.
Mm. Oh, Ryan's on the AI will never take over the world theory. I like it.
Nope, because Kevin Cash just proved it could never happen.
I'm real confused. Like, I didn't know we were going to go this direction. But, hey, you know what? That's what's going to stop us from developing the Terminator.
Alex Jones totally now fine. Calling in.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I like it. It's off. You know, let's get a little weird here on this program. I'm here for it. We got a lot to get to throughout the day. We'll talk to Josh Henske on the University of Michigan and the Minnesota game. That'll be coming up at 7:35. Logan Lamer and Deer will join us. He's got the Lions coverage on Sports Illustrated, part of their All Lions spread there on the Honolulu Blue and Silver after a big addition. They made a move. That's kind of odd, but they did. They made a move, and we'll get your reaction to it as well. Freddie said that he was going to call in. He thought that there was some sort of motive behind my poll question yesterday. I just wanted to know what people thought. I literally put it out there. Here's the schedule for Tua. Here's the schedule for Stafford. What do you guys think? 10 games left apiece. Who's gonna finish with more wins? That was the bet. Steaks for pizza. Let's do it to it. You know, by the end of this year, I will get potentially a lifetime pizza from Freddie. I mean, Dan owes me. Freddie's going to owe me. Probably make a bet with Gian. He'll have to owe me. I like this right now. This is very nice. Got a lot of options for lunch. All right, what else is going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
LA Dodgers clinched the World Series in six games. Congratulations, their first title since 1988. The Dodgers win it 3-1 last night. Take the series 4-2. Plenty more to come on that game after the break. Free agent Eric Reed declined a Washington practice squad offer. How about that? Washington's 2-5, lost safety Landon Collins with a season-ending Achilles tendon injury in a win over Dallas on Sunday. Cameron Curl, a seventh rounder, will replace Collins for now. I just don't think playing on a practice squad is reflective or indicative of my career. You're 28 years old, bro. Played two seasons for Washington coach Ron Rivera in Carolina. Set two defensive franchise records for the Panthers last season. And Ron Rivera's in Washington. Like, why? Like, what?
I mean, Dez Bryant signed to a practice squad, technically. I mean, you can make your way onto the real team.
I don't know what, like, I don't, you want to get back into the league. You want to be playing, and it's a shame or whatever that you're not. I'm interested in Eric Reed for the Lions. I'm interested in everybody. But here's the deal. If they're going to offer you a spot, if you really want to play, take the spot.
Right. Like, and what's
what are you the tough guy for?
Practice squad, you can get signed to any team if you're on any practice squad. I think they can protect you this season, but you can get sign to any team if you're on a practice squad.
You can sign to any team as a free agent as well.
And that way no one's calling you.
Right.
No one's calling you. So why not take the 10 grand a month or 10 grand a week, I'm sorry. Pay your bills and go hang out for a little bit. What's it? I don't think, you know, like,
practice squad's 10 grand a week? Sign me up.
That's what I'm saying. Now, did you know that there's no actual official number for the practice squad, but that's like a that's kind of a guesstimate in the middle.
I want that Josh McCown deal. I'm sorry.
Some teams pay like 8 grand a week. Some teams more. Just all depends. I mean, I don't know how would you turn down that kind of money? What's wrong with you? Lakers Danny Green expects vets to use load management with the shorter NBA offseason. Something that, I mean, thanks, Danny Green. Like, that's a light bulb going off. Like, what is load management? We already know what that is. We know that guys are going to take some time off because they're going to have to condense that season and truncate it again to hopefully get 2021-22 on the right path. Detroit Red Wings and Tyler Bertuzzi, they figured out a deal. It's a one-year contract for Bertuzzi worth $3.5 million after arbitration. He wanted over $4 million. Wings wanted to give him $3.15 million. I'm okay with $3.25 million. Good for him. Michigan Wolverines football fan who threatened to harm Ohio State players has been sentenced. He's a California man. He had threats to harm college football players because they beat his favorite team, epitomized the, quote, fans spiraled out of control. Something that can't be ignored in the age of mass shootings, a federal judge said. Daniel Rippey of Livermore, California, a Michigan native and University of Michigan fan, used Facebook Messenger to threaten a shooting at Ohio State during its annual game against Michigan and vowed to hurt players on the football team and then head coach Urban Meyer. So this is going back a few years. I'm glad. Sentence him. Get him out of here. We don't need him.
That's why I hate college football fans, just kind of in general, just because it seems like mostly college football fans take it to some weird extreme where it's like, dude, it's a football game.
Yeah, you got to find a way to detach yourself a little bit. I can't even say I appreciate the passion because that's weird.
No, like, you can't appreciate that. That's not passion.
If you're getting on
lunacy.
Facebook,
right,
to message players, like, it's like the people that message recruits. Like, what are you doing? Clemson Tigers quarterback. How about this story? Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback. Hints that he might stay for a senior season rather than heading to the NFL draft. Tell me that's not completely team related. Let's see who gets the number one pick, and I'll tell you if I'm coming out or not. Brilliant move by him. And Tiger Woods is going to skip the Houston Open, and College Game Day is going to Augusta. What? Yeah. Craziness. I couldn't understand it either. Everson Griffin has been traded to the Detroit Lions, the big addition on the defensive line. We'll get into that and so much more all show long. We're diving into the World Series coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your Auto Value Hard Store, where service is the difference. We get it.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop DOT-4 Brake Fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at MyAutoValueStore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Home air quality has always been important. These days, even more so. That's why your local Rood dealer is offering you a free healthy home analysis. We'll inspect your current system to make sure it's running properly and keeping your family as safe as possible. Healthy air is important for having a healthy family. Call your local Rood dealer today and schedule a free healthy home analysis. To find your local dealer, visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com. Rely on Rood.
When you're in manufacturing, your competition isn't the company next door. It's companies around the world. You're constantly searching for highly skilled, well-trained workers, and you struggle to keep ahead of ever-changing regulation and compliance measures. With all that's happening, do you have time to explore R&D tax credits, IC disk structures, or inventory accounting methods? That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is manufacturing, our business is helping you run your business better. We'll assist with tax credits, help with inventory costing and control, and so much more. And while we may not be able to help you on the factory floor, we can help you create a solid business foundation. From high tech to hands-on, of all the things you make, make your business better. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Kane is in the building.
That's what it sounded like on Fox Deportes last night for the World Series. I know you were listening to it. I was listening to that call. Welcome back here.
See, every X's time I hear a Spanish call at the end, I'm just expecting a goal!
What's better, the goal call in Spanish or the home run call in Spanish? Because I think that the home run call is a far superior... Like, the goal is cool because it's fun, because it's just what you did, and there's so much, like, passion and energy, and you can appreciate that, right? But the home run calls are nuts. Like, I wonder if I typed into the internet, like, the greatest MLB home run calls in Spanish ever. Like, if there would just be a montage of guys losing their minds. But I'm one of those people that really enjoys whenever we get that kind of level of excitement. I think that... you know, there's a time and a place, obviously, for everything. But I think when it comes to broadcasting, I want to feel like this game matters. And I think that a lot of times, you know, throughout different seasons, I don't necessarily feel that way. I don't want to get rocked to sleep. I want to know if it's game, you know, I don't care if it's game 43 of the NBA season. Like, I want to feel like this thing matters, right? And some of the great voices and the great play-by-play guys in sports history have made you feel. Not only are they great storytellers and great artists when it comes to painting that picture of what the game is supposed to, what the game sounds like, but what it sounds like for the theater of your own mind, but they're also, they have a level of enthusiasm and a level of care that I think you really have to reach to be good. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm going to fall asleep during a broadcast. Spanish guys, you never have to worry about that because they're just always on 10. All the time. Welcome back here. Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino. A fun night last night. The Dodgers win 3-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. A lot to get to here in this idea of that we are, it doesn't really matter that, you know, one of our pitchers is having a great night under
not just any of one of our pitchers. Your Cy Young Award winning pitcher.
The best you got.
The best guy you got. Game six. Well, probably maybe the second best. They're, Charlie Morton and Blake Snell are pretty even. But this is not like a rookie in the sixth inning. This is the guy that you have trusted to get your franchise here. He gave up his second hit. He's got 9 strikeouts. Let him go.
Yeah, the next 3 batters, you know, it's the third time in the order, 0 for 6, 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, there was nothing there that the Tampa Bay Rays coaching staff or pitching staff feared. That's for sure. And look, I come from an era, you know, where back in my day, after you got done throwing a complete game, what'd you do? You went back to work for the roofing company. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was back in the day when, you know, we were just happy to get games on television.
Back in 1988 Dodgers last won is what you're saying.
1918. That's what I was really referring to. Back when guys used to throw complete games, you know, when they had a pair, you know what I mean?
When they had a heater in the mitt and a heater in their mouth.
Ooh, double heaters. I'm talking about firing up a dart midway through the third inning. Like, hey, Charlie, you want to come over here and have a smoke while I pitch this complete
game?
One
thing I would have loved to hear, because we heard it all season on Tigers broadcasts, and any time, like the 3 times it happened, a batter got a hit against the shift, was Jack Morris rip analytics. And it's like, this is the dude that threw a 10-inning shutout in a World Series. So I would love to hear Jack Morris just be like a curse light and just rant on how dumb Kevin Cash was in that moment.
Dan, do you have...
We'll get Jack, and then we'll dub it over Blake Snell's postgame about what he really wanted to say.
Would be hilarious if Jack would join us for that. If if we weren't so football heavy today... definitely going to get some more thoughts. Obviously, Wags will join us next week. I want to pick AJ Ochter's mind. I want to get a hold of Shep. Just a lot of thoughts about this, because it just doesn't seem like it's – I don't know what's going on. So after the game, the Rays manager Kevin Cash said he regretted the outcome more than the decision to pull Blake Snell. The lefty was, you know, still at the top of his game, 5 1/3 scoreless innings in game 6 of the World Series. It's the last game of the year, basically. Can't hold anything back now. Like, come on.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing? Like, it's back when SCLSU won the Bourbon Bowl. Like, you can't hold anything back.
You got to manage with feel sometimes. It reminds me back in 1994, the California Angels.
Yes.
George Knox. Mitchell, his best hitter's up. He pulls him for utility guy, Danny Hemmerling. He hits an inside the park home run. Then it's the last game of the year. Mel Clark, who's been inactive all year, he gets the start. 143 pitches into the 9th inning. He goes, I'm all done, coach. He goes, I think you got one more in you. He gets the out. The Angels win the pennant. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is adopted by Danny Glover. It's a great, great ending. Angels in the outfield.
I cannot believe that you... He didn't. Did you know that he had 143 pitches, or was that just a random number?
No, that he says it as George Knox goes to the mound. He goes, he's got to be tired. He's thrown 143 pitches.
I was going to say, because that was a really electric play-by-play or game recap of what took place there for the
Angels won the pennant.
This guy Ryan remembers the names of utility infielders.
Danny Hemmerling was played by Adrian Brody. All right. Hard to forget that one. Mel Clark's played by Tony Danza.
You're right.
Matthew McConaughey is their starting center fielder.
Do you think that the song was playing for the Dodgers last night, like as they saw Blake Snell was exiting the game?
I think you got an angel with you right now. Just flapping the arms. JGL just giving us hope.
Let me share something with you. There's nothing better than hearing this song with the video of the Angels, right? In home game number 64 of a minor league baseball season with like 15 people in the stands. And this comes on as the team's down 8-1 in the bottom of the 9th.
There's a thing called talent. We don't have it.
Yeah, that'd be actually really good if that's a great sound drop too. By the way, thank you for the Angels in the outfield recap. So, what exactly did the skipper say? What did Kevin Cash? What were his thoughts? Here he is post game discussing this decision to basically blow it for his team.
Kevin, I know you guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? Was it something you saw? Was it a plan to limit him to two times through, or what was your motive there?
No, I mean the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through, I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Was that the plan, even if he was just done for two times through no matter what, or was there any other wiggle room there?
No, there was no set plan. As much as people think that sometimes, there's no set plan. This organization is tremendous about giving the staff the trust to make the in-game decisions that we feel is going to make or give us the best chance to win. And I totally respect that. What it unfolded today was pretty tough.
That doesn't make any sense. We don't have a plan, but we know that we don't want him to see Mookie a third time. But you don't have a plan, but this has been your plan all season. But you're going into the game without a plan, and you're managing off a feel. Is your feel that bad? How could you feel that you needed to pull your ace like that in the most important game of the year with your backs against the wall? Like, is that a fireable offense? I mean, I'd be... Blake Snell is the reason he dropped an F-bomb. We'll get back into this this game and much more, but let's talk Lions next. Everson Griffin, the newest member of the Detroit Lions, Logan Lamarandeer, joins us next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan, available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadley, Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Joining us on the horn right now, he covers the Detroit Lions and the NFL Draft. Sports Illustrated all Lions coverage. Our good buddy Logan Lamarandeer. Find him on Twitter at L Lamarandeer. Logan, my friend, I did not expect to be sending you a text on Tuesday. Just urgency in my text, like, hey, what are you doing? We got to talk because there was a move made yesterday for this franchise that I think Lions fans are going to be buzzing about, the addition of Everson Griffin. You saw the news. What say you about the Cowboys trading over the defensive end to the, you know, going from blue and silver to Honolulu blue and silver? Could this be the keystone piece?
I don't know if it'll be the keystone piece right now at this point in his career, but it definitely doesn't hurt with that pass rush. It's kind of odd because I feel like at this point in his career, he's kind of another Romeo Okwara type, which the way Romeo Okwara has been playing, I'll take that and anything to help the pass rush. And he's a little bit bigger than the traditional defensive end the Lions have on the roster, and he can play all over the line. I think he really fits well into the defense. You know, it would have been nice maybe if they had him at the beginning of the season and they signed him, like a lot of fans out there wanted the Lions to do, is to go after Everson Griffin, when especially considering he only cost $6 million on a one-year contract. But now they trade away a conditional sixth-round pick. It sounds like it could potentially be a fifth, you know, again, not knowing the full details of what the conditions are. But I think it's also fair to point out that if he does play well and gets another contract after the season by another team, he goes into that comp pick formula where maybe the Lions even get compensated from there as well. Wouldn't it be through this, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
You know, Everson Griffin is a guy who is 32 years old, right? So he's just actually a little bit younger than me by like a month. I still feel like I got some gas in the tank, Logan. I feel like this guy might be able to turn things around, have some gas in the tank. But no, I want to know where you stand right now after the 3-3 start. When you look at this Lions schedule, the way that they had lost the game in Chicago, it's like, well, you could have won that one if Swift makes the catch, but let's not go there. You get the doors blown off basically by the Green Bay Packers. You lose a game in New Orleans that there was no way they should have lost that game, considering that New Orleans had six Pro Bowlers, three offense, three defense, not play in that game. But you beat a team like the Cardinals that just beat the Seahawks, the transitive property of football. They're 5-2 now, so that win looks good. But then you got the Jags and the Falcons, both road games, not easy to win on the road. Both road games, they dominate the Jaguars. They have to take it to the last second to beat a 1-5 Falcons team. Where are you at with this team? I just talked myself into a giant circle because I was like, I'm kind of high on them, then I'm not so high on them, then I don't really know how I feel about them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was going to say confused because, you know, after the first 4 weeks of the season, we knew that was one of their tougher stretches of games. It just didn't look like Matt Patricia really was able to adjust or do anything different. And supposedly being a multiple scheme, I just felt like it was just the exact opposite of that. I thought he was maybe a little bit too rigid. And now the last 2 weeks, you've seen a lot more zone defense. You've seen the run defense really come around. They've used a lot more defensive tackles and big guys to just really put an emphasis on stopping the run. And in turn, it's helped with their pass rush because they can now blitz and dial up and manufacture pressure on obvious passing situations. So it has helped. And I'm still not going to say that I'm confident in what Patricia can bring to the table, but he's definitely helped his cause the last couple of weeks, and he just kind of had to play it by ear, to me, at least by this point, because, you know, we did beat the Falcons and Jaguars, and neither of them are exactly great, considered great in this league by any means. So I will say they had some pretty impressive playmakers on offense, both Atlanta, Jaguars not so much, but going into that Detroit game, they were doing well on offense, and Detroit shut them down, and if Detroit can keep that defensive scheme or whatever they're doing, just keep it moving in that offense, and Matthew Stafford continues playing like he did against Atlanta, I think the Lions could make some noise. But again, I'm not necessarily getting my hopes up. I'm still trying to remain level-headed, and I think this Colts team coming up is going to be a great test of just what type of team this Lions, what they are at this point in the season.
You know, I think the Indianapolis Colts, speaking of this week's game, a 1 o'clock kickoff on CBS, so adjust your channel watching, your viewing experience accordingly. It's a home game for Detroit, but I think the Colts are kind of in the same position trying to do some soul searching, because here's a team that has wins against the Bengals, the Jets, the Vikings, and the Bears. Okay, well, the Bears game, I mean, I still don't even know what the Bears are right now at 5-2 after a dismal performance from them on Monday Night Football. But their losses are to the Jaguars in week one, and to the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. I still don't know what the Browns are right now. I don't know what to believe. My eyes are lying to me week in and week out. So I look at this Colts game coming up and I'm like, okay, here's a team with a winning record that is 4-2. So I don't want to, you know, take that for granted or anything. But at the same time, I don't know if the Colts are necessarily world beaters, and I'm looking forward. You know, the Colts are at 4-2, and the Minnesota Vikings, we know what a dismal season they've had at 1-5. And the Washington football team, they're 2-5. They don't even have a name. So they, you got that going for them. The Panthers are under 500 at 3-4. The Houston Texans, they have not been good this year. They're 1-6 and firing everybody in sight. Like these next few games, five of them to be exact, this is a very interesting stretch of football games for this Lions team, to where they string these together and they end up at 8-3. We got a really strange situation here in Detroit.
Yeah, we really do. And just looking at the schedule, you went over all of it. It's like, man, the Lions continue playing like we think they should be or up to their full potential. They can definitely rack up some wins. And Indianapolis, even though, yeah, they have a winning record, they haven't really played anyone too great yet. And the Lions might be one of their tougher matchups they've had on the season so far. So again, it might not be the best indicator, even if the Lions do win. Yes, it's a very solid win, but to be able to compete, you know, as in terms of playoffs and that type of stuff, it is. It's just the Lions really could start racking up the wins and get in that playoff hunt. And you look at the last four games of the season, and that's when it's really going to matter. And those, I think those are going to be the toughest games, but you have to get through this middle, you know, you never say easy games in the NFL, but the easier stretch they have coming up, you have to put together some wins, especially for Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, if they want to stick around and kind of justify them getting another shot next year.
Oh boy, you said that phrase, and that's going to trigger some people now. I just want to let you know that some people are going to be very worked up. By the way, the Indianapolis Colts, they were down 21-0 to the Cincinnati Bengals and rallied in their victory against the Bengals. I just want to throw that out there for the Colts team that seems like they're sort of struggling a little bit. What have you made out of this team? And I just feel like it's so difficult to judge just based on their last three opponents, because I thought for sure that Saints game, they got the lead early, they squandered it. There was all that talk about, hey, here they go, they squandered another lead. Dan Orlovsky was very outspoken about the state of the franchise. Then they go into Jacksonville. They get a two score victory there. They come back against the Falcons. It feels like momentum is turning in their favor. What have you made of Matthew Stafford and his performance and the offense as a whole thus far through six games into the season?
Well, I think he's looked a lot better since Kenny Galladay's return. And they're 3-1 with Galladay, and you just see the type of plays that Galladay makes. And all of a sudden, that downfield deep passing attack that Stafford was so great at last year has kind of returned. And I don't think Stafford, I'm a Stafford supporter, but I don't think he's played very good this year. And then against Atlanta, it's kind of like old Stafford was just back. And, you know, he a minute, no timeouts, and he just moves them right down the field and gets the game-winning score. It's just classic Stafford there. So it is. I hope that the beginning of the season was maybe just a little bit of rust, because you look at the analytics and he was missing more players. His expected completion percentage was actually below, so it means he was missing targets, whereas last year he was completing more over his expected completion percentage, meaning that he was making passes that most guys don't make. So it's like, which one is it? And if you start seeing a little bit more of last year's Stafford, I think this offense can really get clicking. And, you know, we even saw a little bit of Marvin Jones. He's kind of come back to life, and I feel like that's been the story of his career, where you kind of forget about him, and then one game, then he just kind of goes off. And I'm not going to say he had an absolutely great game or anything like that against the Falcons, but it's definitely looking like, you know, a very capable and good number two. And it's just maybe the run game's helping out too. DeAndre Swift's getting going, and that's helping out that deep passing attack. But man, if the Lions... It's all about the potential. If they can do what they did the first eight games of last year, and that defense can just be middle of the road, that's all it really needs to be. I think the Lions, they're going to be a fun team to watch and might make things really interesting.
Logan Lamer and Deer joining us right now, covers the Detroit Lions. You can find his work on the All Lions portion of Sports Illustrated. And, you know, Logan, you brought something up there with DeAndre Swift, and I heard Mike O'Hara say this on our pregame show on Sunday. He said that DeAndre Swift is the running back that the Lions have been trying to draft for the last 10 to 12 years. When I say that to you, what are you thinking? Because I heard that, and I'm like, wow, Mike, that's a It's a pretty bold claim right there from a guy we haven't. I mean, we've only seen him, you know, very limited action so far in his rookie season. But it does feel like the game is much different. The team is much different when he's out there on the field.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's been a lot of running backs that have come through Detroit that I've been very high on, and then injuries kind of derail everything. And that's what you're hoping for with Swift too. It's the opposite of that he can stay healthy, because he has had, you know, even college nagging injuries that have kind of, you know, caught up with him. So I'm not going to say that DeAndre Swift is a true workhorse, but he definitely deserves a bulk of the carries, a lot of touches in the passing game, because he is a real threat. He's one of the, you know, purest three down running backs that there are in the NFL, because he can do it all. And I think the Lions need to start utilizing that a little more, because, you know, Adrian Peterson is starting to show his age, start off hot, but he hasn't looked all that good just recently. So DeAndre Swift, there's just something different. You can tell when he's on the field, the way he can cut and just remain at full speed. His acceleration through the holes is just on another level that I don't think the Lions have. But yeah, if Swift keeps this up, I would definitely say he is the type of running back the Lions have been looking for a long time. He just has to stay healthy.
Logan Lerandeer, the debate on this program, Dan in the studio, you know, maybe feels differently about a specific player than I feel about this specific player. That is Kenny Golladay, a.k.a. Kenny G. Every once in a while, I'll pipe in some saxophone music here on this program, because I feel like the world needs more Kenny G in their life. What do you make of Kenny Galladay's performance, his importance to this team? You literally said moments ago about how Matthew Stafford looks like a different quarterback when he is in the football game. So my question to you is, what do you make of the fact that he posts on Instagram, this stuff is going to cost you, a picture like that, and it feels like he's going to try to command top dollar? I don't know. I don't believe that he's Julio. I don't think he's DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think he's Michael Thomas. But in that next tier, that next group of wide receivers, I think Kenny Golladay could be in that grouping. What say you?
Yeah, it's a really tough situation, especially when we don't know what he's asking for, because that's really what comes down to. Is, you know, how much does he want? How much do the Lions think he's worth? And for me, I think Kenny Golladay, what he does is special. There's not a lot of people, you know, I think he might be the best in the league when it comes to contested catches. You just see him make tough catch after tough catch, always in traffic. But that's also kind of the downside, is that he doesn't necessarily get open. He's always making, in order to rack up yards, it always seems like he's having to make these just ridiculous catches. And there are guys in the league that don't cost as much, that do get open more, do have better run after the catch, just different abilities. But Kenny Golladay is just like a safety blanket, I think, for Matthew Stafford, because Stafford has so much trust, they have so much rapport together, that he can just throw it up and he knows Kenny Golladay is going to come down with it. And you look at all Kenny Galladay's catches against Atlanta, they were all spectacular. They're all just amazing plays. But it's one of those deals where if he starts asking for top money in most years, I'd be fine with that, because as the salary cap increases every year, he's going to get pushed down the board. But with the unknowns around the salary cap and the whole COVID ordeal right now, if the salary cap decreases next year, that percentage of cap space allotted to Kenny Golladay is not going to look a lot greater than it would in normal years where the cap continues to go up. So that's kind of the unknown there. And again, we don't know exactly what he's asking for, but if you're talking about Kenny Golladay in the top five paid, I don't think he's quite worth that. I think Kenny Golladay is right around a fringe top 10 player, because in my mind, all the top players are able to win with getting open, getting separation and routes. And Kenny Golladay doesn't do that. He makes up for it in different ways, which is fine. But again, do you want to pay top dollar at a position that, you know, historically you don't need to have top paid receivers to win the Super Bowl or to win the big game? So I'm very conflicted, because I don't want to lose a playmaker like Kenny Golladay. But if he's asking the world, and, you know, I don't expect him to get DeAndre Hopkins $27 million a year or anything like that, but even the $20 million range still seems like a lot of money for Kenny Golladay when that's, you know, putting him in the top five. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe they could work out an agreement through the cap where, you know, it starts off light and then builds back up once the NFL starts seeing more revenue and gets out of this whole COVID mess.
You know, that's the most, like, non-partial, non-biased answer that we could have gotten. I know Dan is in the studio smiling right now. I'm kind of smiling because I think it's really, you really brought out the best of both arguments there when it comes down to it. And I don't, Dan and I really haven't even argued about this. We've just talked about it, and I'm like, hey, the guy's a difference maker, as you pointed out. And Dan's whole thing is, yeah, but he can't get away from anybody, and which you also pointed out. So I feel like we're kind of split down the middle, and we'll have to reconvene on this topic at some point in the future, because it's going to come up at some point. With the Lions at 3-3. And we start throwing around the P word. It's happening. It is happening. I can't stop it. I've heard, you know, we've had callers talk about it. I've seen tweets about it. People are, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about the playoffs. Oh, it's concerning, my friend, because I don't know. Can this team, is it worth it trying to make it to the playoffs just to get eliminated in the wild card round? Because there is that expanded playoff. There will be an extra team in there as of right now. And if the, you know, our playoff picture looks like this, Detroit right now in the 10 spot in the NFC at 3-3. They got a half game lead over the Carolina Panthers, and they trail San Francisco by a half a game. So they're right there in the mix of things to try to make a push to number seven. That team in seventh place right now is the LA Rams. Too early to be looking at the playoff picture.
It's never too early.
That's what I like to hear.
That's always the main goal. That's always the main goal, is to get to the playoffs. So I know the players and the coaches will always say 1 week at a time, but for me, it's always trying to find a way to sneak into the playoffs somehow. So, it is, yes, it's still early. A lot can happen. And if you look at Patricia's record after their first six games, the last couple years, they've all been right around 500, you know, outside of the year with the tie. But they were 3-3 in 2018. They're 3-3 right now, and they're 2-3-1 last year. So there's still a lot of football to be played. But with the Lions, we've mentioned that schedule coming up, it gets a little lighter, and you know, you got to root for wins. And I understand there's that philosophy that some people want Matt Patricia gone, and they want. I see it all over social media that it's like, oh, we're just delaying the process, but. To me, it's win now, worry about next year later.
I'm with you. We'll see. We'll kind of see what happens on the win now. Do the best you can and try to figure out whatever happens this offseason, if there's changes made or what have you, because there's obviously a lot of questions to be answered. But the more that they win, the more more security might be felt there in some of those positions that people have been unhappy with in regards to this franchise. Logan, my friend, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on the airwaves with us. Thank you so much for your time. You were recording a podcast. Tell me. You know, go ahead, plug the podcast, man. Plug the work.
Oh, it wasn't my podcast. I actually joined an Indianapolis Colts podcast just to kind of get an opposing view. So it was good to kind of hear their perspective on things. Yeah.
What are they saying?
Well, they're pretty high on their team right now, and I think they should be. You know, they do have a winning record, and their defense is playing good. Their lack of run game is concerning them, but even though they have a great offensive line, they're a little unsure on Phillip Rivers. So that was kind of the gist of things.
All right. Well, it's good to hear they've got concerns of their own. He's Logan Lamarandier. You can find him on Twitter at LLamarandier. Logan, my friend, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Let's touch base soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Talk soon.